The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Road and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
Welcome to the Title IX Podcast and the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. I'm Steph Copley, joined as always by my co-host, Alisa Woods. We are not at the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Studios tonight because I had dance mom duty. Woo-wee! The entire Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network is fueled by Cody Road. I should have been fueled by Cody Road at dance class, but was not. And our podcast, the 1009 Podcast, is sponsored by our longtime sponsor, the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. So thanks to all of our friends who make this podcast and the network possible. We appreciate you very much. Alisa, how are you?
I'm good. I am in my husband's bathroom.
And back, I just, like the old day.
Yeah, I just found, I think he has all of our nail clippers down here. I keep buying new ones because I lose them. And I'm realizing I'm not losing them. He's just taking them and confiscating them. So
they were there all along.
Interesting. Other than that, he's been great.
He's been outed.
Yes. He's in trouble now.
So I wanted to start the podcast by mentioning that the Iowa State women's basketball team made us look stupid. You know what? I'm okay with that. I am happy about that. So 2 weeks ago on our last episode of the podcast, our main talking point was whether our women's team was going to make the tournament. And in the interim, last week, they go down to Manhattan, take down number 15 Kansas State on the road in a gritty, gritty game where Audie Crooks played as good as anybody in the Big 12, I think, freshman or otherwise. Over the weekend, we have a seniors celebration, win at home. Emily announces she's coming back for her COVID senior season. We take care of business against Cincinnati to give ourselves a double bye in the Big 12 tournament. Audie and Addie look like veterans. We're guaranteed a spot in the Big 12 tournament. People are scared of us saying we're a bad matchup because we are. That, I just say, way to go, ladies. You kicked ass in the last two
weeks. I love it. And it's just, I feel like, yes, they kind of made us look stupid, but also I feel like we said that this team has potential. And they are fully living up to their potential right now. And a hot streak going into March, I'm not mad about at all.
No. I will ride that hot streak as long as it lasts, baby.
Yeah.
I just, and it's fun to see, well, we can mention this in a second. This is actually one of my winners. But it's fun to see the momentum into going straight into the Big 12 tournament, which is this week, by the way. Yeah. It almost kind of was lost on me that we've changed the way the Big 12 tournament is scheduled so that the women are playing essentially the week, but like the half week before the men so that they can play in the T-Mobile Center, which I still have mixed feelings about. And if you want to hear that whole conversation we had a year ago, go back and listen. But the fact is it's at the T-Mobile Center the week before. So the tournament kicks off on Thursday. We have a double bye, like I mentioned. So we end up playing Saturday morning at 11 against the winner of Baylor and either Houston or Texas Tech. Yes. So who knows what's going to happen in the Big 12 tournament. It's hard. By the time you get to the Big 12 tournament, you know what your opponents are. They know what you are. Yeah. And if we happen to have an early exit in the Big 12 tournament, I'm not going to panic because I think at this point, depending on who we match up against in the NCAAs, that's probably a scarier matchup. Like a non-Big 12 opponent is probably more scared of us than the Big 12 opponents at this point, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Definitely. I was just watching and kind of like, instead of being a fan, because of course I am a fan, but in that second half against Cincinnati, I was just kind of watching as like an analyzing data process person. And
that was a really smooth description.
Yeah, you know, one of those nerds.
Like a Chandler Bing. You were a Chandler Bing of the women's team.
I guess so. But I was watching Audie and just trying to break down, like, what is it? And I actually heard Andy Fales say this, I think, on the radio the other day. Like, what was it that they saw in Audie when she was playing against much smaller players? You know, what was it that they saw in her that was going to translate to D1? And take a chance on her. And I've just been like kind of watching her play and thinking about like, what was that? And I think that she does not always have a size advantage, height advantage. She has a power advantage. She has a muscle advantage. She has a footwork advantage. She can see through arms. It's like, she can see. And when your arms are straight up, there's space right between your arms. That's where her arm, when she's on the right side, that's where her left arm goes, is between those two arms. And she just muscles that ball up, puts that arm right between those two arms. And it's just so interesting to watch her do that. And then I was watching Addie, and her game is more street ball than I think I realized. I think that she can create her own shot in a very similar way to like Momchilovic, the way that he can create his own shot
and create
space.
And I
think as she gets older, as she has more experience, she's going to be able to beat people on the dribble even more than she already does. And I think also watching like Hannah Bellinger had a really great game shooting. And when you have, so in the first half, it was a really even game, made some adjustments. When you have Hannah, or when you have somebody shooting well on one side, that doesn't allow that team to cheat down on Audie at all. And that leaves her so much more open. So I think that, like, if I'm looking into the Big 12, I think that if we have somebody who is on a hot streak shooting threes, I think everything falls into place. And I think that that spaces us out enough that we could win it all, to be honest. And I think, like, headed into both tournaments.
Into Big 12, too.
Yeah. Into both tournaments. I think that like the key is if we can be hitting threes consistently, which can we not? We'll see.
Yeah. I think that will always be the issue with this team is everything needs to run through Audie to be successful, but there's going to be teams who have, a couple of bigs that double team her. And that's not to say she won't still score. She will, for every reason that you just mentioned. But if someone makes her life more difficult and we're not shooting well, that's going to be the downfall of us, exactly like you said.
Yeah, definitely.
You mentioning Audie and Addie, what a duo of names. But they're one of my winners of the week because in addition to just like sounding so cool, Addie and Audie, they just have the personality that I think this team has been missing for a while, for maybe even a few years or a few seasons. And you've mentioned a few times, Alisa, that this team in years past has really not had that like killer, that alpha. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even Ashley Jones, who was by and large the leader, didn't have that like mean streak. And that just like streak where I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
And both Addie and Audie do as freshmen. And it's not like a showy Caitlin Clarke-y way. It's like I'm going to smile when I make a good play and flex off to my own team. And it's just this, like joyful alpha factor that it's hard to describe, except you know it when you see it. And we haven't seen it for several years at Iowa State, and they both have it, and it's infectious, and the fans love it. Their teammates love it. And I think as they continue to mature and grow, and I would already say they're leaders of this team, even as freshmen, but as they continue to cement their legacies, I think those personalities are going to grow even bigger, and we're just going to keep falling more and more in love with them.
Absolutely. So I also had them as winners, but I had really like all freshmen across the board, not just our team, but the freshmen in women's D1 ball right now are scary.
Yeah.
Like I know that there is a lot of this, like, you know, Caitlin Clark and her records and stuff. Like, there's records being set other than the records that Caitlin is setting. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's not going to be a man who's going to come and break her records, because if they are, they're going to the NBA. That's just it. I'm not saying that there's never going to be, you know, a man who is as good of a basketball player as she is. Like, that's kind of a silly thing to say. It's just
the nature of the
It's the nature of
sports.
It's apples and oranges. And it just is. Like, if someone is shooting well for 2 years, they're leaving. They're not going to be there for 4 years to break any sort of records. But I wonder how long these records are going to stand with some of these freshmen coming up. And it's not just the, you know, 2024 freshmen. It's going to be the next year and the next year and the next year. These women are just going to continue to get better. I mean, we have like Hannah Hidalgo breaking records, insane numbers for Notre Dame, insane numbers as a freshman. Juju Watkins at USC breaking records. I mean, it's like, it's just a little bit crazy. And I feel like we're going to look back on this and be like, oh yeah, like that was,
that was
a turning. Yeah. And it's, the excitement around women's basketball. It's the excitement around women's sports in general. It's, you know, Kansas City building their football stadium for the women. You know what I mean? Like, if you build it, they're already there and they're going to show up, you know?
That's right.
You just have to give them a platform to do it. And these freshmen, man, crazy.
And it's funny that you say this. So in my shout outs for later, Caitlin Clark is now the all-time NCAA basketball points leader for men and women. But she's announced she's headed to the WNBA. She's not going to take her extra COVID year. So her record is the 4 year. There's no asterisk, which I, to be completely honest with you, really appreciate. And I think that probably at some level played into her decision. She seems like someone who like appreciates the history of it. But I was looking, you mentioned Juju Watkins breaking records. So I looked back. Caitlin averaged 26.6 points her freshman year. And as of now, the season's not over, so this could change a little bit. But Juju Watkins for USC is averaging 27.8 points a game. Mm-hmm. So she is right on that trajectory to what Caitlin has done. And Caitlin's points per game have increased every year, but there's no reason to believe that Juju's won't as well. So you're absolutely right, Lisa. I think that the freshmen of women's basketball and every freshman class after that is going to continue to be more and more exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have any more women's basketball notes?
Oh, that's a great question. No, none of this is basketball.
I have another. Which is crazy. I know, it's just weird. We're wrapping up the regular season and there's that calm before the storm of the postseason, I guess.
Yeah.
I have another winner related to Iowa State for the softball team. Their icy white uniforms are my like overall winner of the podcast because they look so dang good. If you haven't seen them yet, check out their Twitter feed. It's their icy white and then they have Cyclones and Script, which, oh, it's such a classy, clean look. They looked great. They broke these jerseys out for the first time in Colorado over the weekend at the Colorado Classic. They finish out the non-conference 9-10, and they head into Big 12 play this week. And unfortunately, they open Big 12 play against OU, who has been just a monster in college softball the last several seasons. I don't know if you saw this, but their 71-game winning streak was broken by Louisiana, of all teams, last weekend.
I know.
But I imagine that Iowa State won't continue Oklahoma's losing streak, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, Never know. Yeah. Never know. But yeah, I did see that too. And I also want to say something about all this white. So the game this weekend was a whiteout. The women's game was a whiteout this weekend. So we were all supposed to wear white. And are we just doing this for every game now? It's stressing me out. And I appreciate it. Oh, you mean like
the themes?
Yes. Is it more this year than it's ever been?
I don't know. I didn't really pay attention, to be honest.
So what it reminds me of is this week at my daughter's school is Spirit Week. So this morning we had to find her pajamas. Tomorrow she has to dress like a superhero. Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday. What does that mean? No one knows. One year it was like dress like your favorite book character. And I was like, and she was like, well, I want to dress like I think she wanted to dress like Wonder Woman. And I'm like, we don't have any Wonder Woman books. And she's like, I'm sure there's a Wonder Woman book. I'm like, you're just picking something. But anyway, I wore gray. I don't think I have any white is the crazy thing.
So you were being a rebel?
I guess so, in my gray. It was a very light gray.
You're contrarian.
I did the best that I could, guys. But these theme nights are really starting to stress me out.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of yellow. It's really not a great color for anyone. White for me is okay. I have black and red. A lot of black and cardinal.
I have a lot of red. Yeah.
The old golden rules night. Ooh.
Yeah, that's no, tough. Thank you. Yeah, that's tough. I will wear gold jewelry though.
Well, all right. I feel like that could help you pass.
Okay, thanks.
I'm sorry you I'm sorry you're stressed about the color lights.
It was just Arnold was like, oh, by the way, it's a whiteout, like an hour before we're gonna leave. I was like, are you kidding me? Looking through everything.
I feel ya. Should that be your loser?
Maybe.
The theme nights.
You know, my loser, and this could connect to my loser, because my loser is Twitter or X, because and I will tell you why, because okay. I have thought for 2 days straight who my loser my red flag are for 2 days straight. And I couldn't think of anything.
Okay.
And I was searching my brain, and my first thought was, well, go to Twitter. And I was like, wait, that's where I'm fine. I've taken a little bit of a break from Twitter. I have blocked notifications for everyone who doesn't follow me and I don't follow. So unfortunately, if you're new here, I'll never know. It was getting a little bit much for me. And I don't get on it during the games anymore. It was riling me up in a way that I didn't like. So I've taken probably the last like 2 to 3 weeks a step away from it. And I'm realizing that's where I get all of my negative stuff, all my red flags, all the things that I'm mad about come from Twitter.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So this is also, I didn't really have a giant loser of sports for the weekend either. But now that you say that, some a-hole on Twitter said something about how, you know, like the Iowa women's team has celebrities and we have a bridge. And I just thought back to your point, Elisa, of how we've averaged more fans consistently over the last however many years. And I said something about it and it didn't go great for me. But that's only because people don't understand, like, I'm not taking, that's not a shot at Caitlin Clark. That's a shot at you, you. And Alex Gookin actually pointed out, he went back to the record books because he's a nerd like that and figured out that we averaged more than 3,000 more fans per game than Iowa over the last decade, which is over the last decade, 450,000 more fans watched our women's team than Iowa's. And that, like, there's something to that. And you have been preaching this for a long time. So I just wanted to give you kudos for saying that. And I'm the idiot for tweeting it.
I'm curious. Does he think that Travis Scott bought season tickets for next year? Because
Like, I don't here's think the thing. Did. I think it's cool that all those people are there. Every time right. one of those big names comes in, it's more attention to women's basketball. I think that is badass, and I support it. If Nolan Ryan wants to watch a women's basketball game, I am here for it.
Right. But
there's something about a program that's had consistent support even before it was cool, and that's Iowa State. And to Iowa State fans, women's basketball has always been a bedrock foundational sport for the university. And I just am really proud of that. And I know you are too. And yeah. that's not lost on us. And I'm so curious to see what happens in one season, two seasons, four seasons when she's no longer a Hawkeye.
Dare I say, little sister, Iowa women's basketball team, little sister.
You said it, not me. My other loser of the podcast is EA Sports for neglecting to put a single female broadcaster, sideline reporter, anything in. Oh, you your door's opening. Hi, friend. Is it your child? Which child?
What is that?
It's a microphone.
What did it do?
Hi, buddy. Guys, we have a guest on the podcast.
Hold on. Do you want to say hi? Here.
What's the microphone for?
Hi, Malcolm.
Here, she's talking.
Hi, this Malcolm. How are you?
Here, talk in the microphone. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Who say hello to everybody.
Who did we see this weekend at the basketball game?
Hope.
Oh, we saw Hope, the cheerleader. Who did we see play?
Sai.
Sai.
We saw Sai and we saw Nye.
Yeah.
And we, is Nye your favorite player?
Who's yeah. your favorite player?
My favorite color is a pink taxi.
Oh, favorite color is a pink taxi?
Our did favorite car is a pink taxi.
On the way home? Okay. Are you all done, buddy?
I'm speaking.
Yeah.
You're speaking. You're speaking. That's right.
Do you want to say anything else?
Malcolm, it's good to have you on.
Can you say go Cyclones? You say go Iowa State. Okay.
Say go Cyclones,
done.
Buddy.
All done. Mommy's turn. Thank you.
Oh, that was amazing.
He got.
If you're not, kinda... if you're not watching the podcast, all I could see was the door behind Elisa Creek open, but like there was not a person because Malcolm's tiny and just like, oh, that was cute.
Yeah, and his
kids
Spider-Man.
Are always welcome on this podcast.
Yeah. He's ready for superhero day tomorrow. He's got his Spider-Man pajamas on.
Good work,
he's
buddy.
Getting ready to watch the Bumble Nums. That's what he likes to watch
what
before
the
bed.
Heck are the Bumble Nums?
The Bumble Nums are these little characters that make like a different type of food, but it's always like kind of a weird food, but they have to go find a certain number of things before they can make it. It's literally like 5 or 6 minutes long on YouTube. It's perfectly great. It's really cute. And then
I wish you I just saw my own face while watching you explain that and like, it was like what?
I'll send you a video. Bumble Nums.
No, that's okay. No need.
Do 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 do. We used to watch Carl's Car Wash.
I remember that. I remember
that's
when
a good one. Yeah, we like Carl's Car Wash too. But anyway, we could cut that whole thing out.
Anywho.
Aiden, you can cut that
no,
whole thing.
No, or we leave it. People love to hear Malcolm.
Okay. His favorite okay. color is a pink taxi.
I think he said my favorite car is a pink taxi.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
It does make more sense. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, my last loser is I mentioned EA Sports for their college football 24 for not having any women. I just... like it wouldn't have been hard just to throw in Holly Rowe. Who
right.
the heck doesn't like Holly Rowe? Just to be like, we got our obligatory one woman
right.
in the game, but couldn't even do that.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't do
That's
it.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying. You know who's not annoying?
Martha Stewart.
I agree. She's not annoying. She's great, in fact.
Yeah. Cool. That's Hope not Wood. The direction you were going?
No, I was going with Hopewood.
I do like Hopewood too.
I do too. You've heard us talk about Hope for a couple of years now. She does the Will in a Day program. She's a great attorney. She's a great friend of the pod. She's a great Cyclone. Check her out at hopewoodjd.com and use the code Fanatic for $50 off your Will in a Day. Hey, Elisa, I forgot to tell you something.
What is it?
Happy Women's History Month.
Oh, March.
I probably should have led with that, eh?
Eh?
Okay. Billie Jean King actually is a great follow for Women's History Month because she tweets a lot of fun facts and not just sports related. So she on Sunday tweeted that it was the 91st anniversary of the first woman in history to be appointed to a cabinet position. Her name was Frances Perkins. She was appointed Secretary of Labor. So there you go.
I also have a women's history fact.
Okay, tell me.
I heard a little dog bark. Boop.
She's
100 years ago. 100 years ago in the Olympics, the 1924 Olympics, 5% of the athletes were women. This year, for the first time ever, 50% of the athletes will be
women. Hey!
Isn't that a good?
That's great to hear. That's a good one.
Thank you.
You didn't know this when you signed on to do this podcast with me tonight, but I'm going to give you a little bit of history about Women's History Month.
Oh, okay. I love it.
Can I tell you? Okay.
I'm ready.
So International Women's Day was traced back to the garment workers' strike in New York City in 1909. And in response to that, German activists went to the International Conference of Working Women and recommended the creation of a holiday to recognize women. So Europe adopted International Women's Day in 1911. The U.S. decided, you know what, we'll just wait a few decades. And in 1978, a local education task force in Santa Rosa, California said, we're going to plan a week celebrating women. And they happened to coordinate it with International Women's Day. They then formed a women's history project, and it started to generate some momentum. And by 1986, 14 states declared Women's History Month in March. In 1987, Congress passed a law designating March as Women's History Month. So that's how we're here today.
Wonderful.
I know. Don't you feel better knowing that?
I do feel better knowing that. I feel like some of that sounded familiar.
I think we've talked about it before, but it's good to have just a nice little refresher.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So the happy Women's History Month to you. The more you know. Okay, it's time for my favorite part of the podcast, the shout-outs.
Shout-outs.
You mentioned this, Elisa, already, but we are coming up upon the first match for the Kansas City Current in their new home stadium, which is, of course, drum roll please, the first stadium purpose-built for women in the world. Ooh. Pew, 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 pew. That is March 16th. I will be there. I will tweet pictures. I will probably cry, all the things. I can't wait. But in anticipation of the NWSL kickoff, new kits were released last week. I don't know if you saw this on social media, Lisa, but every team kit for the new season is brand new. They were overhauled by Nike. So each team gets two new home and away kits. The favorite of mine was a San Diego Wave. A lot of pink, teal, orange, very beachy vibes. They sold six figures in jersey sales in one day, which was almost a 600% increase since last season, primarily because there's suddenly more access because Nike put some investment dollars into making them available to. It's weird. It's almost like when you give people access to women's sports, whether that be merchandise, watching, anything, people consume.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Wild. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I'm gonna
turn it over to you.
Yeah, I have a little shout out, and I feel like I might be stealing your thunder here because
do it.
I got really into the U.S. women's team game last night.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I love to hear it.
Yeah, I saw on the Instagrams that it was getting a little chippy and Alex Morgan had to be restrained by some of her teammates during that game over Colombia. And so I was like, well, let me tune in real quick, like a little spicy soccer game. And it was great. They dominated. By the time I tuned in, I think it was at the 50th minute, and they already had their three goals and didn't end up scoring anymore. But they were definitely the the aggressor, I would say, in that game. They had plenty more opportunities to score and just couldn't put it in the back of the goal. But it was a fun time. It was fun to watch. I like some of these players. Some of the younger players are just really fun to watch. It's a really diverse team, which is also really cool to watch. There were a couple faces that I didn't know, and I kind of ran to Google to figure out who they were, where they came from, you know, where they went to school, you know, who's your mama, who's your daddy, who are you? And kind of excited to follow some of them on social media and stuff like that. But they play next on Wednesday against Canada. And so when I first went, it said that I could only watch it on Paramount Plus or Fubo, Fubo, whatever.
Fubo, I think.
And I was kind of bummed. What's that?
I think it's, doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was kind of bummed. And then I went to ESPN because I was like, well, let me just like watch something else then. And they had the Spanish stream
broadcast
of it on ESPN Plus. So I just watched it in Spanish. I mean,
that's kind of fun, actually.
Yeah. I turned it down because I was kind of doing some other stuff in the background. But that's a little trick because it does say that the game against Canada is only on Fubo or Paramount Plus. You might check ESPN Plus and see if the Spanish broadcast is on ESPN Plus. I know that Canada is not a Spanish speaking country, so I don't know if there will be, a Spanish broadcast, but maybe it's a little hack.
So you mentioned that game being chippy. It was very chippy. Alex Morgan was on one last night. Trinity Rodman was all up in people's grills. It was hilarious. Some of those just ridiculous petty antics that they were engaging in made me laugh. But it's been a little bit of a rough stretch for the U.S. women's national team, so it was nice to see them not losing. I don't know what's gonna happen. I wore my Alex Morgan Together, I don't know if you can see it, sweatshirt today. But I, like you said, there's a lot of new faces. Alex Morgan is not one of those new faces, but I think she's still got a little bit in her, maybe. We'll see. But that Canada game will tell us a lot, I think.
Definitely. And it was also interesting because I don't watch a ton of soccer, but it was interesting, like, when the ball goes out of bounds, the teams kind of just decide whose ball it is. Like, the ref's sort of there, motioning in one way or the other, but I feel like they can be swayed by, like, an aggressive team member. And it's like, in basketball, they have to go to the monitor to see who the ball went off of, and it's like a 20-minute thing. In soccer,
just rolls on.
Should we just paper rock scissors for it, like,
or just go?
Right,
it's a whole different vibe. That was a good game to watch last night. I hope they find a recipe to keep scoring goals. We mentioned the Professional Women's Hockey League a few weeks ago on the podcast, so they're halfway done with the first half of the first season is over, and they've averaged about 5,100 fans per game, which may not sound like a lot, but I went back and looked. The National Hockey League, the NHL, averaged 4,900 fans per game in its inaugural season. So the Professional Women's Hockey League is outgrowing the NHL in their first seasons. So I was just kind of shocked by that and pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that is cool to see.
And then do you have, sorry, Lisa, I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you have more
shout outs? No, that's fine. My only other shout out, people might have seen this, but there was a softball player who hit a single home run, a 2-run home run, a 3-run home run, and a grand slam. Danielle Gibson, a softball player for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And she tied the NCAA record with 4 home runs. And then it's only the second recorded home run cycle in D1
softball. Oh my gosh.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I hadn't seen that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very cool. I watched the highlights of it. I can send it to you too, but it was very,
I wonder how
very
many
cool
home run cycles there have been ever. Like, not just D1 softball, but like ever.
I know. Yeah, I like have goosebumps about it. I got so excited. Isn't that wow, that's so amazing. Oh my gosh, like that's a legacy. That's just so cool.
And then your last at bat, you're probably like, hey, I got nothing to lose at this point.
I think she had to hit like a solo for the last one or something
even
like
better.
That.
The pressure's off. Wow. We've talked a lot about the sports bra, the bar out in Portland, who was the first bar to show only women's sports. Mm-hmm. Well, the sports bra has company. A new bar in Minneapolis is called A Bar of Their Own, which is a playoff of A League of Their Own. All women's sports all the time. It opened over the weekend. And I actually saw a reel on Instagram at 9:30 yesterday morning. There was a line around the block to get in to watch the Iowa Ohio State game. So pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yes. Do you have red flags and green flags for this episode? Beige flags.
I had my beige flag was that the NCAA is eliminating the double hit in volleyball. And that's a very like niche specific thing.
Really?
They eliminated it for receiving. You can double hit on a receiving set. Serve? I believe, yeah, when they serve and if you set it, I believe that you can double hit on that. But I think that they're eliminating the double hit for all sets. They're just eliminating the double hit, which I think I'm interested to see because that double hit has always been a thing. And so I feel, but it also is one of those things that's open to interpretation.
I was just going to say it's so subjective.
Yeah, and
a ball like hitting your hands a millisecond apart.
Yeah, yeah, and the way a set comes in and the way that kind of you flick your wrists, it oftentimes looks like a double hit when it's not. Yeah. And so I feel like that's been for a while one of those sources of contention where it's like that was not, and yes it was, you know, it's one person versus the other person. So I just
interesting.
It is, yeah, it's something and something to watch,
therefore beige.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it yet, so beige.
I don't have a beige this week, but I do have a red and a green.
Yeah.
My red is people who don't like the black jelly beans and the Brock's jelly beans. Do you not like the black ones?
Not at all.
You're a red flag.
I'm proudly, proudly waving.
Wow. Wow.
Bleh.
I love them. Did you know that they no longer put the black jelly beans in the bag of the assorted colors? They now have black jelly beans as their own. And I think that's it.
No, that's fantastic.
That seems like unnecessary segregation to me.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Do you like black licorice then?
I freaking love black licorice. I almost told a story that's not appropriate for the podcast. I ate a lot of black licorice once when I was studying and it did not treat me well.
Oh. Green poop?
Blue poop.
Blue. Interesting.
Anyways, in case you were wondering about eating an entire bag of black licorice this week, don't do it.
Just to further divide our community of listeners, are you a red vine or are you a Twizzler?
I like both. If we're talking about straws for Coke Zero,
yep,
I like red vines. Red vines make a better straw.
I think red vines are made of the same thing candles are made of. And I think that I question if they're truly edible is my what.
Well,
I'm
I've
say.
Eaten a few in my lifetime and I'm still here. Sorry about my dog.
Did you really?
She was really upset about the black jelly beans.
Apparently, she said. You don't like red vines? Hey, Zoe.
My green flag is Jason Kelce. He announced his retirement today, Monday afternoon. He was just a ball of mush. This big old man with a cutoff shirt is just bawling his eyes out in front of the camera and the microphone. And I just, I have fallen in love with him through their podcast. He is out of his mind in the best way. I love his wife. I love their family. I'm just so excited that he seems to have a second career in the media in some capacity.
He has to. Yeah. So,
green flag to you, Jason.
That's so funny. I had somebody pick up a cake this weekend and we got started talking and she was like, you know who I really think is hot? Jason Kelsey. And I was like, do you mean Jason or do you mean Travis? And she's like, no. Travis. I mean Jason Kelsey. She's like,
I mean,
the body.
He was a finalist.
Yeah.
The sexiest man alive.
Yeah. And he looks nothing like this friend's husband too, which just cracks me up. I was like, you do not have a type, do you? But yeah, she was like, I find him so attractive. And I was like, okay, honey.
You know what? We all have our things.
I think his vibe is attractive.
I do too. Totally.
Yeah.
Yes. I think
that's what people love about him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like a genuine manly man who balls his eyes out. Like you don't get that a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my, those are my flags for the week, Elisa.
I love it. I like those flags.
Do you have a red flag?
I don't have, my red flag was Twitter being the source
your
of
red
all
flag
of my
is-
red flags.
Your red flag is me for liking
black licorice.
My red flag is you for not. So that actually works out well.
My red flag is peanut allergies because they've created, there's a Reese's egg that is tiny now, like bite sized. They've created bite sized Reese's eggs and they put a bunch of them in a bag together. And I can't have them because my son is allergic. I could have them and then like brush my teeth really, really, really well.
This is a problem.
I know. But doesn't that sound good? What's your, okay, I'm sorry. I'm dragging this podcast on. What's your favorite Easter candy?
It's the Reese's eggs with the white chocolate.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But here's the issue. A few years ago, I was told I have a peanut sensitivity, not a peanut allergy, just a slight sensitivity with my esophagus.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
you avoid.
I avoid. However, I'm starting to think that that was a BS diagnosis, and I'm just willing to dive in.
Okay.
I'm going to do it this year.
Okay.
YOLO.
Report back. My favorite is the mini Cadbury eggs.
Oh my God, Elisa.
Wood.
You're right. That's my second one.
Oh my gosh. The way that the shell is it's so crunchy. Yes. And when you put it in your mouth, it cracks just a little bit. And those sharp edges and then the creaminess of the peanut, or not the peanut butter, the creaminess of the chocolate that doesn't quite melt on impact. You can tell that it's a higher quality. Chocolate than like an M&M chocolate. The M&M chocolate almost becomes like powdery a little bit on your tongue, but the Cadbury chocolate inside of those mini eggs, it has staying power. And I have
some. I just ate a handful tonight, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you this, the best part about those things is you can like just eat the hell out of it, like crunch it. Or you can just kind of let it melt and enjoy it.
Yes.
And either way, amazing.
Perfection. Yum.
Okay.
Well,
now you know what to send us if you're looking to send us Easter baskets.
Yeah, a lot of those.
And, a lot of those. Just
and peanut butter, maybe.
I'm not going to say no to any Easter candy. All right. Well, we'll be back in a couple of weeks and we should know more about the fate of both of our teams as we head into March. And until then, we'll be cheering loud. That wasn't loud, Elisa.
Oh.
Go Cyclones.
Go State.